Clementine Watkins hooked her thumb to the parlor curtain, tugging it enough to spy out on the proceedings of the room. It was a late night, a Wednesday. Her head hurt from too much whiskey the night before. Her bum, pressed to the window, had chilled to a state of numbness. The trousers and jacket she wore gave no protection from the seeping damp cold beyond the glass panes and shutters. She wriggled her toes in her socks, curling them under, then stretching them out. A yawn threatened. She swallowed it down and forced herself to ignore the cold behind her and take heed of the goings-on. Or lack thereof. Five people sat around a table, hands clasped, eyes shut, faces wobbling and gleaming in the light of a solitary candle. Two men, three ladies. The family Ott, and a Mr. Sullivan, to be precise. Clem was close enough to touch the shoulder of Mr. Ott. He would have done better with two chairs. Now he shifted his weight from one buttock to the other, and every so often let out a discomfited groan. To his right sat a young girl of longish neck and pinkish nose, her mouth already curved like her mother's, the next participant at the table, in a permanent scowl. The mother wore the finest of mourning, soft velvet ribbons, hard jet buttons, crinoline that glimmered in the low light. The brooch at her neck boasted a braid of hair and a dangling ruby. Next to her sat Mr. Sullivan. He had come alone, trailing behind the family and twisting his hat in his hand. He had bobbed his head in a mumbled greeting before the medium requested they sit. The medium herself, Maud Price, sat still as a statue, elbows locked straight, shoulder blades pushed against the slats of her chair. She wore a simple dress of organdy, pale as her skin and hair. She was of no great beauty, with a high forehead, a pinch of nose and chin. Beauty, of course, had naught to do with psychical gifts, not at all. Still, Clem was of the opinion it did not hurt. Suddenly, Maud Price lifted her shoulder, an inadvertent jerk of movement, enough to alert the others that soon there would be communion. Soon, the dearly departed would join the circle, causing the stiff material of her skirts to rustle. The girl's eyes snapped open, and she watched Maud. Clem slipped the curtain back, lest her hiding place be spied. She had seen the sharp spark in the girl's eye. Doubt. Well, after all, they had been sitting now for an impossibly long time, and Maud had made no movement save that twitch of shoulder and a few bobbles of her eyeballs under the translucent skin of her lids. Mr. Ott cleared his throat.
So sorry.
It's the weather, the mother said.
Horrible spring.
Why are your eyes open, Celia?
Why are yours? The daughter answered. Then Mr. Sullivan began to burble and broke into a sob.
Would you all be quiet?
Clem leaned against the window frame and picked at her thumbnail. This would be the time for a good, long, disembodied screech. She was tempted, but this wasn't her place. Her place was to observe.
I am in difficulty.
The note had come to Clem's boarding house, slipped under the tea mug on the breakfast tray, and nearly used as a napkin by Russell. But Clem had nicked it in time, and now she was here, in the too-hot room, with the too-cold window.
You're squeezing too tight, Mother.
Pay attention.
I don't believe in ghosts.
The girl gave a shriek. Clem flicked the curtain. The candle had been snuffed. The wick glowed orange and umber, and then went out.